of shadow boxing. The general.
Johnny Blazing, nightmares like Wes Craven. My third eye seen it coming before it happened. You know about them stacking kids, they smashing everything, huh? In any shape, form, or fashion. Now everybody talking about they blasting. Is you busting still or is you flashing? Talking out your.
Yo. What's up, peoples? Doing things a little different this week. Just a little different. Because guess what? The Illmatic Podcast, the Illmatic Guided Podcast, is now the Illmatic Soul Brother Podcast. So take over. Breaks over. Your boy, the people's co-host. But for today, the people's host, Soul Brother Aiden. What's going on, people? What's going on? I kicked the Illmatic Goddess off her own podcast. This is my show now. Got a new landlord. All pay homage to the king. No, on the real though, the Illmatic Goddess is on a vacation. You know what, people? Let me break something down for you. Don't let the Illmatic Goddess fool you. Don't let IG fool you. IG always talking about cold girl summer. I don't be doing nothing. I stay to myself. I don't be doing nothing. There's chicks in Egypt, people. There's chick that flown to Africa on a whim for pleasure. I'm still stuck in the city. I just came back from like Newport News. That's my vacation. She's in Egypt. I went down the street. She's in Egypt. She's across the country, across the globe right now, living her best life. Then they got the nerd to come on this podcast talking about, oh, cold girl summer. Man, get off that, man. Whatever. Anyway, man, she'll be back relatively soon. So until then, I'm going to hold it down for, again, your people's co-host / people's host for this week, Soul Brother 80. And again, thank you for all who listen to the podcast. Thank you for all who give their insight, advice, opinions, questions, feedback, all sorts of information that we use to make this podcast better. Trust and believe, regardless of how little or how much we get, we take everything in consideration and we attempt to make this podcast better week in and week out. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for paying attention. Thank you for being you. So I hope you all guys had a good week since the last podcast. I haven't really done much since the last podcast. I've been chilling. Trying to think what I did last weekend. I don't think it was anything good. I think I literally stayed in the house. I worked a little bit. Might have hung out. Matter of fact, I didn't hang out. I hung out last weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, my man, guy I'm good friends with, having a going away party. So we went and celebrated him before he disappeared on us. So we did that. And then last Sunday, I had a birthday party I went to. At a bar down the street, which was good times had by all, until my Cowboys lost and ruined my entire weekend. But that's neither here nor there. So, whatever. Let's do this. You got me for an hour and a half, maybe more. It's my show. I make the rules today. Soul Brother 80, the people's co-host. # treat Soul Brother right. Shout out to my girl, D-Nice. D-Nice, thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the shout-outs and the admiration you give me every week to let your girl know that regardless of how she treats me, I still got a fan in you. I got a friend in you. Oh, this is going to be a long show. Anyway, man, so let's get this rolling. So how we usually start off, I'll still keep the same format. I'm not going to change that up. So how we usually start off is we'll do a top five list. Now, she, your IG, Illmatic Goddess, she suggested before she bounced, I do a top five Jay Dilla. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to save that for another day. Because for those who've heard this podcast before, who listen to me talk before, my number one favorite artist of all time, hands down, Jay Dilla, a.k.a. JD, a.k.a. JDZ, a.k.a. Pay J Productions, your favorite producer's favorite producer, James DeWitt Yancey. It's my favorite guy of all time, man. So it's hard to put him into a top five because the man, he did so much work. He put in so much work. It's hard to sit down and say top five. Top five what? Top five production work he's done? Top five as far as his personal music? I mean, it's hard to say that. Top five of I mean, like, if you just look at his production work by itself, I mean, this man played behind the scenes for pretty much, what, 96 up till his death, 2006. He had a 10-year behind-the-scenes reign where it's like he's doing music for everybody and you didn't even realize it. Doing songs for Erykah Badu, Busta Rhymes, Tribe Called Quest, doing remixes for Janet Jackson, doing remixes for Brand New Heavies, Far Side, did a song for Tupac after Tupac died. I mean, the man was doing production work everywhere. So for me to sit down and do a top five, it would be impossible. So I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna do something else. My top five for this week, top five Wu-Tang debut solo albums. That's my top five. Top five Wu-Tang debut solo albums. Strictly solo work from the Killer Bees. So this is my top five. So again, in no particular order, as I gotta stress every week, because I don't want people to think that I'm putting something on top of other things unless I specify. Get out your feelings. You know what I mean? So, top five Wu solo albums of all time. Debut Wu solo albums of all time. So, number five, you got to put T'Cal up there. You got to put Method Man T'Cal. Method Man was the first breakout star of Wu-Tang. No doubt about that. They positioned him to be the breakout star for that group. Hence, he's the only man has a song named after himself on the album. You know? Wu-Tang, for the kids, for the children. So my first pick, T'Cal, Bring the Pain. I remember being at a house party back in 94, and they played Bring the Pain. I ain't saying I went to a thug school as far as high school, but when they played Bring the Pain, you would think you were straight up in Brooklyn. you had dudes ice grilling. You had dudes got a little mosh pit going on, bumping people like, yo, you in it now. So, I mean, Bring the Pain, All I Need, the remix with Mary J. Blige. Come on, man. T'Cal, the first album, number five, greatest Wu-Tang solo album, debut solo album of all time. Number four, Inspector Deck, Uncontrolled Substance. Very slept on album, man. I was just talking about this with my man not too long ago, looking at the last Wu-Tang episode. Inspector Deck's Uncontrolled Substance, a very slept on, very underrated banger of an album. Good production work. Of course, you got True Master doing production work, RZA dropping his jewels. You got some Pete Rock stuff in there. I mean, Deck is the unsung hero of that group. I ain't saying he's the best, because everybody knows that Ghostface is like the MVP of the Wu to this day. But Inspector Deck, again, when the man drops one of the greatest opening verses in history in Triumph, you can't sleep on his solo work, man. Again, Uncontrolled Substance, Inspector Deck, a lot of classic tracks up there. Please check it out. Get it. Number three, I'm going to have to go with Ghostface. Ghostface, Tony Stark, Iron Man. Come on, man. The Iron Man album. Dope album. Again, he's bringing that flavor. He brought that flavor at that time. He's bringing that colorful kind of rap. out of the gutterness, not too grimy, not too pretty. It's like right in the middle. But he knows how to hold the crowd. He knows how to hold your heart in his hand and have you eating from the palm of his hand. Come on, man. Indy 500. Cam A. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Come on, man. That Ghostface Iron Man album can't be touched. It's one of the classic albums of his generation, of my generation, of any generation. Classic debut album again. Ghostface Killah, Iron Man. So, number one and number two. It's not going to be a hard pick for number one and number two, people. I will say this. These songs or these albums, they could be interchangeable. They could be one or two easily amongst themselves in any order. So, without further ado, I'm just going to give you one and two together. And you rank them how you want to rank them. So, one and two, the Purple Tape and Liquid Swords. How, whatever order you want to put them in. Raekwon's for Cuba Links, and then Just a Genius, Liquid Swords. So, of course, when Cuba Links dropped, for Cuba Links dropped, I think back, what, 96? He kind of brought forth that mafioso rap. You know, Lex Diamonds and all them cats had their nicknames and whatnot. They were the mafioso rap. But again, he kept it grimy. Criminology rap. Ice Water. Glaciers of Ice. Ice Cream. Come on, man. Ice Cream was an anthem for the summer in 96. Come on, man. Him and Ghost holding it down together? Man, please. Dope album. Again, one of the best albums of 96. One of the best debut albums of all time. With the classic Purple Tape. I remember going to the store and seeing the Purple Tape. I had a CD, but I remember seeing the Purple Tape. Wasn't many people doing stuff like that. The only other person I could think of that had like a specialty tape, like a tape that stood out from nobody else or from anybody else, was Redman when he had his, his second album, not Muddy Waters. God, I can't think of it offhand, but his second album, it dropped in an all-red case, and if you bought the tape, it was an all-red tape. Can't beat that, man. I used to bump Criminology rap religiously when it came out. Come on, man. You can't beat for Cuban Links. So again, to piggyback on that, when GZA dropped his solo album, I remember going home from a football game, high school football game, when I was still in high school, hearing that song drop on the radio. Hearing Liquid Swords when the MCs came to live out the name. Man, the beat was ill. I nearly broke my neck trying to hold my head up on that song, man. Yeah. The song I just played for the intro. Shadowboxing. If y'all think the edited version was sounded dope, Method Man rips it on the ill version, on the real version. GZA, I slayed MCs back in the rec room ever. My style broke mother backs the Kempatera. Most rap came loud but unheard. Come on, man. Once I peeled off, round them off to the nearest third. Come on, man. The Fourth Chamber. Him and Ghostface. Killer Sin. I mean, come on. It was too many songs up there. And he brought that. And he brought the intellectual side of the rap, too. So he handled both sides. But it's hard to sleep on either one of those albums. It's hard to say which one is number one and number two. Because, again, those can be interchangeable. So, that's my five. That's my top five. No particular order. Read in the week. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so, listen to the podcast. Do me a favor. Go to illmatticgoddess.com. Go to Twitter once we post it. Go to Instagram. Go to Facebook. We'll probably put a poll up there. Name your top five Wu-Tang albums, solo debut albums, out of all nine. Mine is U-God, because no one's checking for U-God. If you put U-God as your favorite Wu-Tang member, we're going to have a talk. If you said U-God had the hottest debut album, we need to have a talk. I'm seriously questioning your life decisions if you said that U-God was the illest, or is the illest Wu-Tang member. Because I tell you what, Shorty Doo can rap better than me. You got is garbage. you got, sure, I mean, a broken clock is right two times a day. He can drop something ill every so often, you know? You listen to him on Ghostface, Sergey LaGhost. Yeah, he sounds pretty decent. But come on, man. Ain't nobody checking for you, God. I've never heard anybody in the history of life say, you, God, had the best verse on that album. Said no one ever. You, God, ripped that piece, son. Said no one ever. Come on, man. You kidding me? Top five albums. Top five solo albums. Please don't put You, God, in your albums. But anyway, I digress. Go to the websites. Go to the socials. Drop your five. As a matter of fact, to make it even simple, drop your top three debut solo Wu-Tang albums. Let me know. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you throw up there. And I'll be interested to see what you guys got to say, and I'll respond back if I see anything up there. So please let me know. So, moving forward. Haven't seen the Wu-Tang show tonight because I know it was Wu Wednesday. But last week was a good show. Last week, kind of see the formation of the Wu. Again, if you haven't seen last week's episode, spoiler alert, I'm sorry, I won't throw it out there. We're on to a new episode. You had plenty enough time to catch it. You saw the grind that RZA went through to get on the, you know, at least get on the spot, to at least get on the map. Being jerked around from city to city he goes to, especially with them t-shirts, man. Come on, that's the worst. Ooh, we love you, Rakim. You're killing the man. Put his stuff up there. Get the man's name right. And then to not get his sample cleared for Ooh, We Love You, Raheem. To not get that Denise Williams sample cleared. That was like the nail in the coffin for him. And he saw the writing on the wall. That's why the man wanted to do something different. And they helped him out. Tommy Boy helped him out by dropping him. But the man went through some hustles from city to city. And he still tried to make it work. He really did. Now, I don't know. You know what? Let me know. I Love You, Raheem. Do you guys prefer the quote-unquote the original version with Denise Williams? Or do you prefer the one that he produced himself? You let me know. I like the one he produced himself because that's what I was first introduced to back when I saw that video for the very first time on Rap City. Blew my mind when I saw that video for the very first time on Rap City. Because, of course, when you think of RZA, of course, I knew nothing about RZA up until Wu-Tang dropped. So I'm thinking about this grimy, mess around, cross the dude the wrong way, he'll shoot you. I'm thinking, that's RZA. I'm thinking, yo, this dude's dangerous. Now I see this dude in a tuxedo on the top hat. Talking about how much he loved girls. Whoa, who are you? Where'd you come from? But let me know. Which version did you like better? The Denise Williams version or the one that he produced? Anyway, it was a good episode, man. And you can see at the end, him, ODB, GZA, Inspector Deck, and I think Ray was in the booth with him. That was the formation right there. That was the beginning of it right there. He was like, yo, let's put our powers together and do something major. So it's nice to see how everything's unfolding. So I'm going to catch a new episode. I'll probably catch that one tomorrow after work. And then we'll discuss that next week or during the next podcast. But so I thought it was a pretty dope episode. I liked it. Can't wait to see the next one. All right. So let's get into it. Let's get into some topics here. Let's get into some topics that I peeped throughout the week, and I figure, you know, maybe something interesting to talk about. So, first and foremost, so I saw Jay-Z, right? So, Jay-Z did a interview, I think it was last week, not too long ago, in which the topic of the conversation was, of course, black males, African Americans, and the police. And Jay made a real controversial comment in regards to who's at fault or where that angst comes from when you have black boys, black men dealing with police officers. And what he said was because a lot of black men as children grow up in single parent homes minus a father, a male role model. So what he said was because these young men grow up in homes with no father, they're looked at as the as the man of the house, so to speak, as the person who is in charge. I'm the man of the house. I make my own rules. You can't tell me what to do. You won't there for me. Kind of like anti-authority. You know, if I don't have a man over me, if I don't have a father figure over me to kind of dictate and to shape my life, I take that upon myself unless I find someone outside of the family. And that's how you got a lot of people, they say, to go to gangs and stuff like that, because they're looking for that connection they don't get at home, and they find it outside of home. So what Jay was saying was, you have kids who grew up very anti-authority because they don't have a male figure in their lives, a.k.a. a father or dad, to help shape them and show them how to be respectful, or at least show them how to keep those emotions in check. So when they grow up feeling like they can't be told what to do, now to sit there and say a police officer comes in contact with them, because now they got that anti-authority kind of mindset. It's like, yo, when you say put my hands in the air, what do you mean put my hands in the air? I ain't doing none of that. So it's kind of, it seemingly felt like Jay-Z was putting the blame on the men, on the black men, on the African-Americans, on the victims. And me being a person that I'm not gonna point fingers one way or another. It's a conversation that both sides need to have to make relations better. Because I can't point my fingers at the police, because I know the police do what they're trained to do, whether people agree with it or not. And they're human beings just like anyone else. At the end of the day, when they go to work, they want to go home. They don't want to hurt anybody. They don't want to see people lose their lives, let alone their own lives. So they're not in it to hurt people. Regardless of what you see on TV, regardless of what you believe, how you feel about police, there is no police officer out there that purposely wants to go out and hurt somebody because today's the day I'm just going to hurt somebody. They don't want to hurt anybody. They want to go home just as much as anybody else. But it seems like Jay is putting the blame, again, he's putting the blame on the kids, on the people who grew up in these single-family homes, in these single-parent homes, saying that if they had a positive male role model in their lives, they wouldn't act that way towards police. So it's like he's putting the blame on them. And to Jay, I'm like, well, how do you come across, how do you formulate that? Like, how do you sit there and say it's your fault for how you were raised? It's your fault because you didn't have that structure in your life is why you get treated the way you do today, because you can't control your emotions. And I just... Hearing Jay-Z, man, Sean Carter, he's a business, and he's going to say how he feels. It's hard for me to put in words, but I have somebody to fire back and forth from. This is why I kind of miss the goddess herself, because we could always go back and forth, and now kind of open up new avenues, but it's just hard to see how Jay-Z was coming up as a youth, knowing that he was the same way. He didn't have a great relationship with his father. He had no relationship with his dad up until a few years before his dad passed away from cancer. Or however he passed away, heart attack, cancer, something like that. Either or, he had no relationship with his dad. And you would hear songs back from early Jigga years where he was bashing the police, saying how unfair they treat people, going on radio stations, going on TV, talking about the police brutality and how the police do this and how the police do that. Now he's turning around and saying, well, if you being the youth, the kids, the people who are on the other side of this equation, if you were raised better, if you had a positive male role model in your life, if you had a two-parent home, these issues wouldn't be yours. You wouldn't be this way. Come on, man. Are you trying to tell me that any and every black person that has died because of their interactions with police officers all came from single-parent homes? I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit. And to put the onus on them, come on, Jay. You know better than that, man. For once in your life, take a step back. Don't be a businessman. Be a man. Be
be that dude back in the 90s, back in 98, 97, that whatever. Be that dude that was so anti-authority. Be that dude who wasn't afraid to stand out and speak his mind. I understand you got a business to run. I understand you got everything. You got your hands in everything. You're dealing with the NFL now, who you're all for the NFL trying to get social justice. But you can't sit there and advocate social justice, but at the same time say, well, if you guys knew how to act. Come on, man. Did Tamir Rice, did he not know how to act when he was gunned down? If now, I don't know if he was raised by a single parent or dual parent, two parents, but if Tamir Rice would have had a mother and a father active in his life, he wouldn't have these issues? Man, come on, Jay. Stop it, Jay. Stop it. The girl that was just killed just last weekend in Fort Worth. Again, I don't know anything about her personal life, whether she grew up in a two-parent home or a single-family home. What about her attitude? She didn't do anything. What was her attitude, Jay? Don't sit there and say, and I understand he's speaking on black men, and I just introduced a woman. But this just goes to show things will happen regardless of how you were raised. You could be totally respectful and stuff happens. You could be a jerk and nothing happens. Come on, Jay. That's just irresponsible to say that, man. When I saw the video, and I was kind of blown away by it. Because I didn't understand how you can come to that conclusion. If I can find the clip, I'll play the clip for you. Because I got a lot of time to enter. I got a lot of time to talk about what goes on. But it's just crazy. And I couldn't understand how he came. So let me play a little bit. This is a little bit of it right here. I'm going to play a little bit of it. So again, and I apologize for the language. I know we try to keep the show clean, but every so often things go through and we just, you got to keep it real. But still, maybe it's just me, but it really truthfully seems like he is putting the blame on these kids that came from single parent homes. And it's just, like I said, I feel like it's just knowing everything Jay's been through, knowing what he's been doing with his life. I mean, I just don't understand how he can say something like that, like it's strictly their fault. If you ask me, it's 50-50. It's 50-50. And again, like I said during the beginning of this conversation, it's something that it's a conversation that needs to be had on both sides to make things better. And that's the truth. So, Jay-Z has changed over the years, and sure, he might advocate, he might sit there and go out, go to bat for like Meek Mill and Free Meek and all that stuff, but at the same time, he does stuff like that, which you tip your hat to him, but then he turns around and does stuff like this, and it's like, Jay, really? Come on, dude, don't do that to us, but again, that's my opinion. I'm sure if the goddess was here today, she'll feel the same way. Please, man, let me know how y'all feel about that. Talk about it. Discuss it amongst yourselves. Post it on the social accounts. Let us know how you feel about that. So, moving on. Industry beef. Apparently, T.I. and Iggy Azalea got beef now. So apparently, T.I. was on Twitter. And he made a post. I believe somebody asked him a question about, you know, the next big thing or, you know, things he's trying to do down the road. So here's the post from T.I.'s account. So he goes, I'm still actively looking for another female rapper who can undo the blunder of Iggy Azalea. That is a tarnish of my legacy as far as being a music executive is concerned. To me, this is like when Michael Jordan went to play baseball. Come on, Tip. You can't sit there and sign this chick and talk about how dope she is. And then when things fall through, you pretty much throw it on the bus. Come on, man. Don't do that to a Tip. I'm not an Iggy Azalea fan. And I'll be straight honest with you. Iggy Azalea's whack. She can't rap. If there's, again, hasn't been proven. You haven't heard anything about it. But if there's any person that writes anything for anybody, Iggy Azalea gets stuff written for her on a regular basis. I remember it's a funny clip that she was doing a quote-unquote freestyle on Sway's radio shows, where it was like it's like Sway gave her one beat, and she didn't want to rap over it. He gave her another beat, she didn't want to rap over it. She wanted something more slow because what she already had in her head was designed for a slow song. So he played a slow beat for her. She pretty much spits a song that she already wrote or is written already, I'll say. And then it's like at the end of the freestyle, somebody caught in the air and like, yo, that song sucks. But I digress. So anyway, come on, man. You can't do that to Iggy. Iggy put her heart into what she tried, and regardless of if it was successful or not, you can't sit there and say something like it was a blunder. So in response to that, Iggy then says, imagine thinking I was his biggest blunder. Laugh my ass off, Tip, sweetie. We have a whole list for you. So apparently Iggy was like, yo, he's misogynistic. You know, he harassed me. Come on, man. Come on, Tip. You got more class than that to throw her under the bus like that. Come on, Tip. You are one of the biggest names in music today. You know, you made your mark in music. You made your mark in the industry. So you actually found yourself in a position where you can uplift the next person and get them where you want them to be, to get them where you are. And you dropped the ball with Iggy. What Tip's problem was is that he tried to find that unicorn. Yo, I got me a dope white female rapper. So I got two unicorns. I got a white artist and I got a white female artist. What can go wrong? Everything. Because she's whack. Because she can't rap. You can throw a song together for her. She can perform for you. But come on, man. Iggy has never been included in anybody's top 10. If she is, you're lying to yourself. So, yeah. Like I said, I just feel like it's a low blow on Tip's side for throwing her under the bus like that. Sure. Did she move the numbers that you wanted her to move? Probably not. Did she have the impact that you thought she would have? Probably not. Did she get the respect from the industry that you thought she should get? Probably didn't. But don't put that solely on her. She can only do what she can only do. And I feel crazy defending her, but I feel like in a situation like this is needed. Because again, you signed her. You do something with her. You market her differently. You give her that guidance that she needs to be better. And if it's not going to work, then simply say, hey, man, it didn't work out. Both sides came to the agreement that we need to move on. Don't just throw her under the bus like she's a blunder. Oh, she was the biggest blunder of my career. That's dirt, man. That's dirt. But she is a blunder. But she is. So anyway, moving on. Got more to talk about. Yo, I know it's a little bit old, but the fact that it was delivered to us older, if that even makes sense, is the biggest crime. So how many people knew that the one of the rap game's oldest dude that's just on his grimy tip. How many knew that Too Short had a kid? Dude is 53 years old. I can imagine him running through legions of females in his prime. Probably still now. Well, I believe he's got a girlfriend now. But I can imagine this dude just ripping and running through cats.
through girls in his prime.
This dude had a baby. Had a child last December. Kept it a secret to like last month. Hey, everybody, surprise. Got me a daughter on that. This dude went around his entire life saying his favorite word in the whole wide world. Bia! Not going to say it, trying to be clean. But for him to carry that energy for his entire career, his rap career is based off that word. Now you got a daughter. God is up there laughing at you, son. He's up there pointing down at you, holding his stomach, laughing his butt off right now, saying, hey, surprise. Working out, sucker. But me, congratulations. Hey, never too old to have kids. Some people say. I say. If you're able to do it, and you can do it in a safe way, which technically is no safe way to have kids, but, I mean, it's a blessing regardless. You know, mother's healthy, child's healthy, he's good. It's a blessing. Still funny as all get out that this dude's 53 years old, had his first kid. I wonder if it was planned. Like, did he plan on having a kid? Like, was that, like, the thing? Like, he woke up one day, girlfriend came up to him saying, short dog, I'm late, homie. That's awkward. It's awkward as I don't know what. But, hey, more power to you. Again, congratulations on the child, regardless if you had it last December or last week. I hope that your little girl grows up to be just as successful as you were. What can I say? I'm trying to find something witty and funny to say. I can't be funny about kids. I feel like this is disrespectful. I'm not gonna sit there and joke man's kids. I just think it's hilarious. It's called divine comedy. Surprise! So anyway, that was something good too. All right, so kind of going back and forth here. So apparently the BBC put out a list a couple days ago, maybe it was last week, with the top 25 songs of all time. Now, some of the songs I can see based off their significance at the time, based on their impact at the time, based on a lot of stuff going on. But some of these songs, I'm going to read it for you. Again, we got plenty of time. Y'all ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. Let's do this. So, according to the BBC, top 25 songs of all time. Start from 25. Number 25, All Right, Kendrick. Now, don't get me wrong. With everything going on in the country, and this is back in 2015, with everything going on in the country, as far as when the song was dropped, I'm sorry. Everything going on around 2015. I mean, I think we were in the height. Or if not, we were still getting out of the height of all the things going on in the country dealing with blacks and police officers. So, yeah, that song had a significant impact. As far as the video, as far as his message, as far as just the energy behind the song. So I agree with that. So number 25, Kendrick Lamar. Actually, tied for 25th with All Right is Rosa Parks, Outkast. Dope song. All right, I can see that. 24, All the Lights. Kanye West featuring Rihanna and Kid Cudi back in 2010. To each his own. 23, Grinding, Clips, 2002. 22, Lose Yourself, Eminem, 2002. Okay, again, the impact that song had when it came out, that was vintage prime Eminem right there, so I'll give that to him. 21, Doo-Wop, Lauryn Hill, 98. If Illmatic Goddess was here, she'll probably want to say, that should be top five songs of all time. Number 22, boo, or 21, boo. This would be the round of time I would say that she's biased and I'd joke her and she would try to hurl an insult at me. And then, I would say something to the effect of hashtag treat soul brother 80 right. And then she would try to put me down again. It's classic IG goddess. It's classic Illmatic goddess. That's her MO. She ain't even here right now. I ain't gonna talk about her. She not here. This is my show. Bump that. So, back to the list. Yeah. Let her dominate my conversation. She's not even here. Anyway, 21, Do Up, Lauryn Hill, 98. 20, International Players Anthem, UGK and Outkast, 07. Dope song. Dope song. Again, Andre 3 Stacks. Best verse in the entire song. Hard to say it wasn't. 19, You and I, T.Y., Queen Latifah, 93. Okay. Number 18, After Police, N.W.A., back in 88. Okay. 16, B.O.B., Bombs Over Baghdad, Outkast, 2000. Number 15, They Reminisce Over You, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Can I please get another Pete Rock and CL Smooth album? I know you guys are friends again. Pete Rock and CL Smooth, I know you guys listen to this podcast. You're longtime podcast fans of the Illmatic podcast. Illmatic Goddess podcast. I know you guys are listening. Can I please get another Pete Rock and CL Smooth album? You guys are friends again. There's no beef between y'all. You guys are doing music. Put a song out. Put an album out. Do something, man. Stop messing with my emotions. Yeah. So 15, When They Reminisce Over You. 14, Rappers Delight, Sugar Hill Gang, 79. 13, Paid in Full, Arabian Rakim, 87. Runaway, Kanye, Pusha T, 2010. I don't understand how Kanye is getting so many all-time greatest songs on his list. I don't understand that, but this ain't my list. Number 11, Electric Relaxation, Tribe Called Quest, 93. Number 10, Dear Mama, Tupac, 95. Number 9, New York State of Mind, Nas, 94. Pass Me By, Farside, 92. That's number 8. Number 7, 93 to Infinity, Souls of Mischief, 93. Cream, Wu-Tang Clan, 93, dropped to 93. Number 6. Number 5, Number the G Thing, Dre and Snoop Dogg. Number 4, The Message, Grandmaster Flash and Furious 5, 82. Shook Ones, Part 2, Mobb Deep, 95. Fight the Power, Public Enemy, 89, is number 2. And number one, greatest song of all time, Juicy, Notorious B.I.G. 94. So let's dissect this list. Let's dissect this list. I can see All Right. I can see the argument for Rosa Parks because that was a club banger. And this is when Outkast pretty much was dominating hip hop at the time. That was what on Stankonia. So that was pretty much Outkast holding the rap game down as far as like a group. How come ain't no De La Soul songs up here? That hurts my feelings. That hurts my heart. Hurts my heart, there's no daylight songs up here. Anyway, it's not my list. All the Lights, Kanye West. Really? Top 25 of all time? BBC? Eh. I mean, if you're going to put Kanye in there, I can see other Kanye West songs being in there. Why not Jesus Walks? Why isn't that in the top 25? And that had a huge significance during that time frame because when you're looking at mainstream artists, there's only certain subjects that the radio will play. There's only certain subjects or lyrical content that the record labels will push in order to get that radio play. That's why you probably won't hear Cardi B do any more sentimental songs on the radio, because when she dropped Be Careful, people was like, yo, what is this crap? Get back to you shaking your butt and talking about dude's going down on you. She was like, all right, that's what y'all want to hear. You know what I'm saying? You never hear City Girls do something sentimental like, I love my daddy, he's everything to me. You know, you're not going to hear that. You're going to hear twerking, booty shaking, blah, 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 blah. That's what you're going to hear. So anyway, Jesus Walks, again, a mainstream artist talking about Jesus, talking religious. And that song was like in heavy rotation back when it dropped. So why not put that song up there? I don't understand that. But like I said before, this isn't my list. So Grinding. Again, I can see the argument to have that in there because the clips was an anomaly that when they came out, they were riding a wave. So I can totally understand that. Lose Yourself. I can see that. Again, Eminem dropped Lose Yourself. That was an anthem for a hot minute. Do Up, That Thing. Sure. Okay. I can see that. No big deal. International's player anthem. Yes. Yes. Again. And it's not to sleep on anybody else on that album. But Andre 3000 ripped that album. Ripped that song. Ripped that verse. So I type in text to our girl who used it. Come on, man. He broke that down. Then I CC'd every girl that I CC'd round town and hate to see you frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Wetness all around me, true, but I'm no island, peninsula maybe. Come on, man. So I can see that because that was the anthem. And again, carried by Andre 3 Stacks. You and I, T.Y. Okay. Again, I can see that because that was the anthem. That was an anthem back in 93, I'm sorry. That was the anthem back in 93. So I can see that. I can give them that. At the Police, N.W.A. I can definitely see that. I can have that on my list. If I really had to think about it, I would put that on my list. That's, again, that was a statement album. That was a statement song dropped back in 88 that no one really did at that point in time. So for them to go that hard against the grain, salute to them. I give them that. Today was a good day. Ice Cube. I think I skipped over that last time. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I said that or not. But today was a good day. Okay. Bombs Over Baghdad. Yes. Please keep that up there. I'm feeling that. When They Reminisce Over You. Again, an anthem. That's a song that you can play to this day. That still knocks. That still bangs. So, you know, it's a banger. Straight banger. Rapper's Delight. Yeah. You going back to 79 for that one. Rap in its infancy. So yes, Rapper's Delight opened the doors up for being one of the first mainstream rap songs ever. So I can see that up there. Paid in Full. My retort for that. There's a lot of dope Rakim songs, Arabian Rakim songs out there, no doubt. I can see Paid in Full. Especially when you play that 7-minute mix. I can see Paid in Full. But why not Mahogany? Why not Know the Ledge? Again, I'm fine with that. But it's just, I'm looking at other songs that could be up there in lieu of that. So, well, either or, I'm good with that. Runaway, Kanye West? Really? I would have a better time dealing with Flashing Lights than Runaway. But again, it's not my list. Electric Relaxation, Tribe Called Quest. One of the most successful, you know what, I'll keep that. One of the most successful groups of all time that has a track record like no other, dating back from the late 80s. And it's unfortunate that, you know, Fife passed away a couple years ago that really put an end to the group. But Electric Relaxation was the jam. I got a shirt. Relax yourself, girl. Please settle down. Come on, man. Anyway, back. Let's get on point. I gotta stay on task. Dear Mama. Why Dear Mama? Was it the significance of him breaking down the love of his mother? Why not Hit Him Up? Now, I know those two contrasting songs, but why not Hit Him Up? One of the greatest diss tracks of all time. In the height of their beef between him and Big, why not Hit Him Up? New York State of Mind, Nas. Excuse me. Sure. I can see that. Debut album, the first song on probably one of the greatest debut albums of all time. I can see that. All right. Pass Me By. Far Side doesn't really get a lot of love. People don't realize how dope Far Side was. Very underrated. Pass Me By is probably one. Passing Me By is probably their best known song, and they got a lot of good songs. But that's like their signature. Like if you can't remember any other Far Side song, then that's the one you remember. That's the one that sticks out in your mind. My dear, my dear, my dear, you do not know me, but I know you very. Come on, man. Come on, man. But I top 25. Okay, whatever. 93 Until Infinity. Why? You know, the funny thing is, I had that album. I had that album. This is back in the heyday of getting albums from that music company that you pay like a penny for an album, and then everything after like 10 albums, I used to rape my mother. I would get the order form, and I would buy like 15 albums at one time, and then she get a bill for like $80, and I was like, I don't know what happened. I thought they were 10 cents. She used to be mad as hell at me. But I don't see how 93 to Infinity is up here. It's a dope song, don't get me wrong, but in the significance of the greatest 25 songs of all time, I don't see how it fits in there compared to what's before and what's after it. I mean, I don't look at Souls of Mischief as a group that made a lasting mark. I mean, that was really their only song. Like, I've heard songs off and on from Souls of Mischief to this day. But again, if you ask anybody within our age group to name one Souls of Mischief song, unless they like a diehard fan, 93 to Infinity is going to be the only thing that they can give you. But I mean, hey, again, not my list. Not my list at all. Cream. Okay, so I can see Cream. Because again, dope song from a dope album from a dope group. There's really nothing more I can say about that. Nothing more I can say about that. Dope album. That's probably, I mean, you're already looking at one of the greatest groups of all time. And Cream was like the piece de resistance that they threw in that album. So I can see that. Number the G thing. Dre at his peak. First breaking away from he was still with Death Row. But that was The Chronic. I mean, that's considered one of the greatest albums of all times. The Message, yeah, sure. Shook Ones, sure. Fight the Power, I can see that. I don't agree with Juicy. I don't agree with that. I'm not sure how that made the greatest song of all time. That's it. That kind of befuddles me, so to speak. So I'm not feeling that one. But again, this ain't my list. I really can't say much about what you put up here. What do y'all think though? Again, go to the website. Tell me how you think about that. Tell me how you feel about that. Is that something you can get with, or is that something you're thinking to yourself, I can do without that. You let me know how you feel. All right, moving on. Moving right on along. So, y'all hear about the game? Apparently, just yesterday, the game posted on Instagram saying that his next album, Born to Rap, will be his last studio album. And he's leaving the game, so to speak. No puns intended. Yeah. Good morning, Hood Morning, no typo, to my day one fans and those waiting on the album. I know I've been quiet, but I've been grinding, tightening up the album for a November release. In the process, I started Profile Records. I will drop my last studio album, Born to Rap, on this imprint. I've created classic merch, and here are a few of my favorites. Go always talking about his stuff on his website now, trying to save some clothes and stuff like that. What do you think about his last? You know what? I could have swore like years ago that he said whatever album, the Red album, I think it was. I don't know what it was. That was going to be his last album. I feel like I've heard this before from him. Do I believe it? I don't know. I think the game is at a point in his career. I don't want to say he's not relevant, but he's not on the forefront of people's minds like he was when he dropped the documentary. Like, if he would have dropped the documentary and says, I'm retiring, that album was highly successful. That album was a pretty dope album. And I just don't see him walking away from the music industry off that album as successful as it was. Now, he's more of a social media figure now than somebody that holds weight in the industry. He's made his money. He's made his mark. He's done his time. But I don't look at him. I don't see him right now as like a heavyweight in rap. You know, he's made a good investment. He saved some dough. He's gotten in trouble. That's neither here nor there. But I don't see him as... I don't think he'll stay retired. But I don't know. Like I said, he's not really... Like, what has he done recently? Other than dropping his album in November? Like, what big things has he done that is like you had to go copy? I don't know. I can't give that to him. He's done nothing. 50 Cent has done more than him, and 50 Cent ain't done nothing either. But 50 Cent's name is on more people's mouths today than the game is. But that's my opinion. And I don't want people to think that I'm bashing the game. No, I like the game. Like I said, I was a big fan of documentary. I thought it was a dope album. One of the few things that people hated about the album, well, I can say hated, but disliked. And I agree with him. He name dropped too much. But again, it's called the documentary. He's telling you about his come up, about what he went through and everything that was an inspiration to him to help him make this album. But people say he name dropped too much. And I can agree with that. But again, I still think it was a dope album. But I don't think he stays retired. I think he does this. And I think he just kind of falls back to his social media posts. And then I'm sure he'll drop something next. You know what? After this, I'll give him 5 years. I bet you he drops something else. Kind of like Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj told me something, 2 months ago? It's my last album. I'm retiring. I'm not doing anything else. I'm done. I'm out the game. And then like a week later, she's back making music. Because she... So, Nicki Minaj is this generation's Lil' Kim, right? She stole Lil' Kim's blueprint. And then, you know, it's funny, as much as her and Kim were beefing, it's like she's a Lil' Kim Jr. She's like Lil' Kim light. You pretty much do and present yourself the same way that Kim did. Heck, even Kim considered herself a black Barbie. I could have swore Kim used to call herself the black Barbie, or at least a Barbie. And now your nickname at one point in time was Black Barbie. You bit her style. And at one point, you were the alpha female of rap. Hate to say it, but it's true. Nicki Minaj dominated music for a minute. Bounced between rap and being a pop star. She dominated music. So, retires. I'm coming back now. That's ego. That's ego. That's wanting to stay relevant. Can't share that spotlight or can't give that spotlight up. Seeing how Cardi B is doing her thing. Nah. She can't let that go. Retired and unretired in like 2 seconds. Man, get out of here. So I think the game comes back. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going back and forth. I don't think the game comes back. I think the game will remain a social media figure. I know I'm confusing. I know I didn't say it like... I didn't change and flip-flop like 5 different times. The game's not coming back. Final answer. You can quote me on that. Print it. The game's not coming back. Because he's not as relevant as he once was. He's not as popular as he once was. He doesn't hold command of the crowd as he once did. And because of that, if I'm not relevant, if I'm not in a place where I feel like I am on top of the game or I'm making a big difference in music, I don't think he takes that chance of coming back. I think he's going to be a social media figure. He might do a feature every so often. But you'll strictly see him on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram making his posts talking his stuff and moving it from there. So, are y'all gonna get his album? Are y'all gonna cop that album? Yes or no? Yay or nay? Are y'all gonna get that album? I know I'm not. I'll listen to it somehow, some way, but I wouldn't get it. I think the last song that he dropped that I was a fan of was that One Blood song. And that was, God, I don't remember that. That came out years ago. Years ago. I couldn't even tell you the year that came out. That was like, what, 2010 maybe? Somebody check me. 08, 2010? That's the last song I remember I liked. I can't tell you another song that I like other than that. I couldn't tell you another album he dropped after that. When did that song come out? I'm trying to think. 06. I was way wrong. Came out in 06. So you look at a song that came out 13 years ago, and that's the last song I can remember that was like a song that I liked from the game. But hey, again, you're going to have your diehard fans that will ride or die with him. And it is what it is. What do y'all think, though? Break it down for me. Tell me how you feel. Again, go to the website. Drop your opinions on his last studio album. You gonna copy it? You gonna get it? You think it's gonna be any good? I don't know. I hope so for his sake. But I don't put too much faith in it. We'll see, though. We'll see. I don't even know who's gonna be on the album. I haven't really done much research into who's gonna be on it, because I haven't heard much about it anyway. So I don't, maybe it's gonna be good. Never know. What else we can talk about? What else can we talk about? We still got some time left. Still got like 20 minutes. What else is good? What else is good? Do I got any nerds up here? Any nerds or blurs? Anything in between? I'm telling you, man. It's. I'm trying to get back in the game. For those who don't know, and I should have said this way before when the show started, follow me on social media, SoulBrother80 on Instagram. Go to my Twitter, The Blurred Tribunal, or Blurred Tribunal. And I'm trying to take the advice of the Illmatic Goddess. Trying to get my socials all together so you guys can find me in one place and not bounce back and forth. But anyway, Instagram, SoulBrother80, Twitter, Blurred Tribunal. If you play PlayStation, you can find me up there at Mike80. Send me a friend request. Let's get down, play a game together. I'm trying to get back into games. I'm trying to do it. Also, I Twitch. Uncle Mike80 on Twitch. Hook me up. Look me up. Sometimes I use the stream on the weekend. I'm trying to do it more often. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be more of an active gamer. It's just I'm getting old, man. Had a birthday not long ago. I'm pushing 40. Getting old, man. I get off from work. I go to the gym. I plop on the couch thinking I'm going to do all these crazy things. And next thing you know, I'm passed out on the couch. Old man life. Can't keep up anymore with these young bucks. I wouldn't have any other way, though. This is the life you live, right? As long as you're happy with it. So, what else is going on today? What are some other topics that we haven't gone over? What are some more headlines that we haven't gone over that we can kind of throw out there and chit chat about? There's gotta be some more stuff out there. I know there is. Kind of hating on the Illmatic Goddess out there in Egypt, sitting here in the house, looking at that roach run across the carpet. Living a better life than I am. How y'all feel about Kanye and his Sunday service? How y'all feel about Kanye saying that he's not going to make any more secular music? That he's going to do nothing but church and gospel music? Y'all keep making fun of Kanye, man. That dude, first of all, I don't doubt that he has love for God and Jesus, and that his faith is has been renewed. But y'all keep thinking that man don't have a mental illness. Y'all keep thinking that his decisions aren't kind of dictated by what's going on in his head. And in no way am I trying to put him down. I'm telling you, man, I have a good understanding going through, you know, certain training and stuff like that, and kind of getting information on it. I have a good understanding on some of the things that people with mental illnesses go through. So in no way am I trying to mess with the man. I'm not trying to make fun of him, joke him, or anything like that. But y'all know Kanye got a mental illness, right? Y'all know he's bipolar and whatever else he is. I mean, he was all for Kim Kardashian going out dressing butt naked, taking video shoots. Now, just I saw the video another day. I saw a video the other day where he's like, you need to put some clothes on. You can't be doing this stuff. Oh, Kanye, stop tripping. That's what she's known for being provocative, grabbing headlines. Get out of there, man. It's crazy, though. I don't think that lasts. I think he'll stick with that for a while, and then he'll make some more crazy songs and crazy videos, and, you know, he'll be right back. Because I think, him and Jay-Z trying to do another album together. I think they back together. I think they patched up their beefs and their issues, and I think they're going to make another, album. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Man's sick. Pray for him. How about that? Pray for him. Pray for that dude. Got some issues going on. What else is going on, man? Something else going on. What about this beef between Academics and Nicki Minaj? What about that? So, apparently, and I can't find the post, apparently, Academics got like these DM messages with Nicki saying crazy stuff. And that's trying to deny everything. Y'all can't keep living that life, man. Nicki's not about that life. Nicki's a princess now. Stop it, Nicki. Stop trying to be hard. You ain't that person anymore. What else? I'm trying to think, people. Y'all don't realize how hard it is to actually come up with stuff when you actually went through all your material and don't have nothing to bounce people off. I'm saying that. You know what? There we go. I'm sorry. There's a new one. Here's a good one. So, and this will probably ride us out for the rest of the show. So, Gina Rodriguez, the other day posted a video on Instagram, I think it was, where she was singing along to a Fuji song, Fuji Law, and she dropped the N-bomb as she was mouthing the words. And of course, there was an eruption about it. People were outraged that she used the word. But where the outrage came from, because of course, you for years listening to rap music, hip hop, and if you're not familiar with Gina Rodriguez, she's Puerto Rican. But you've had plenty of Puerto Rican MCs, Latin MCs, Mexican MCs that drop the N-bomb like it's another word. I mean, Fat Joe, Puerto Rican, used the N-word in every song he's ever made. Big Pun, bless his soul, Puerto Rican, dropped the N-bomb in every song he ever made. Trying to think. I think one of the few people that I have not ever heard use the N-word was Be Real. I don't think I've ever heard any song, and I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, I haven't heard any song from Be Real where he dropped the N-bomb. Sin Dog has, his boy, but I can't recall any time him using the N-word. Maybe he did. I just can't remember. Let me know, people. But the problem with her is that it's not the fact that she used the word. It's the fact that she has a history of being anti-black, making comments against blacks as it relates to, you know, movie roles. I think there was a time where, I think it was when Black Panther dropped, where she's like, yeah, it's all fine and dandy that blacks are getting these leading roles, but where are my Latina people? So it's kind of like, okay, they're getting their shine. Where's my shine? Where's our shine? So it's the fact that she has a history of making anti-black comments that's where the outrage comes from. So that leads to the question. Should anyone, and I don't think anyone, period, should use the word. I don't care if you're white, black, Puerto Rican. No one should use the word, period. I wish we could slowly but surely ban that word out of our minds to the point where we don't even remember it exists. But it's like, that leads to the question, should non-blacks, other people of color, should they use the word? How do y'all feel about that? Me personally, and I just said it before, I don't think anybody should use the word black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian, Mexican. It doesn't matter. I don't think the word should be used, period. And for years, we have given Latinos or, you know, Puerto Ricans, we've given them the pass, so to speak. And I had a debate online, and one of the reasons that they felt it wasn't a big deal was because she's of the culture. She grew up around the culture, and because of that, she gets a pass. So that leads into my other side of that debate. Well, what if I'm white? Like MC Search. MC Search grew up in the culture. But I've never heard MC Search on an album or MC Search in general conversations being interviewed or anything in general to suggest he's ever said the N-word. But MC Search grew up in the culture. See, MC Search is from New York. He grew up listening to rap music. He's one of the pioneers of rap music, believe it or not. So does he get a pass? No, because he's white. So what? So how can we use that same? How can we use that same way of thinking to other non-blacks? So then, got to a debate with my man. He was like, "Well, do you listen to John Mayer?" I was like, "Yeah, listen to John Mayer." So you're gonna condemn Gina and be outraged about that, but then John Mayer, back when he had his interview with GQ, dropped the N-bomb, but you still support him. And this is my reasoning. Agree with it or not, I don't care. Again, Gina Rodriguez has a history of making anti-black comments. Now, sure, what John Mayer said was stupid. I don't condone what he said, whether it be him being in jest or being serious about it. I don't condone it. I don't condone his way of thinking. But am I going to cut him off? I haven't cut him off. Should I cut him off? Should I stop listening to John Legend? Should I stop listening to John Mayer because he said the N-word before? There's a legion of black people that still rock Eminem to this day. And Eminem was on tape singing the N-word during a song. There were hundreds of people that came to defense of Justin Bieber when he made a song when he was a kid using the N-word. Usher Raymond came to this dude's defense saying, "Hey man, let it go. He was a kid, blah, blah, blah." Do they get passes? Should we cancel them since we're living in the cancel culture? Like, how do we give, like, when do we draw the line to say he's good, she's good, you're not good? So he was like, "Yeah, well, you still listen to John Mayer, so that means you support him and you're defending him." I'm not defending John Mayer. I don't agree with what he said. I don't like what he said. But I'm still a fan of his because I can move on past that incident. And then he dropped like, well, Hulk Hogan said the N-word and I stopped following him on social media and blah. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's fine. Remember when there was a big controversy with Nick Bosa and everybody called Nick Bosa a racist and all this stuff. But like, you're a Nick Bosa fan. You cheer that dude when he has a killer game. You must have forgot about all the crazy stuff he did years ago. So I just don't get that. I don't understand how we can. I don't know who Gina Rodriguez is. And I say that because I think I've seen one movie when she was in it. That was what? Annihilation. That came out a couple years ago with Natalie Portman. I've never seen any other songs. I've never seen any other movies with her in it. Apparently she played in Joan of Arcadia. Some show used to come on TV. I never watched the show. So I'm not a fan of her. So I don't know her body of work to say I'm gonna cut her off. I'm not outraged by what she said. I'm not offended by what she said. But at the same time, if you feel a certain way or you have a perception a certain way against black people, but you still feel comfortable enough to say that word, that's an issue. Now, John Mayer, again, different but the same. Different because he's white. And it doesn't matter where you came from, who you grew up around, or how you say the word, by you being white and saying that word is unacceptable. Am I wrong for still listening to John Mayer? Let me know. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of songs of John Mayer that I listen to, not on a daily basis, but I still listen to them because they're dope songs. But I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. It's a strange time that we're in. And it's hard for me to say. Like I said, I feel like that should be something that should be stricken from everyone's mind. Like, no one, period, should say that word. Now, I'll be honest with you. Amongst close friends, yeah, I say the word. I try not to, but it's for me, it's purposely said. It's not like I say it like, oh shoot, I shouldn't have said that. No, I say it on purpose, but it's not a word that I use often. And I feel like I'm justifying myself, and I'm not trying to justify why I do what I do, because it's not my favorite word, and it's not something I use all the time. But it's just, I don't think that word should be used by anybody. And I'm not giving her a pass, but I'm not condemning her to the point where it's like, throw the whole Gina Rodriguez away. Like, if she was to come out with a movie tomorrow that I was interested in and she was in it, I would watch it. John Mayer, yeah, he said it, he apologized, and we've moved on. I'll still listen to him. Now, if he would have said it in a sense where it's like he's being derogative or derogatory or insulting, then yeah, that's it. Cancel John Mayer. Like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan came out and was like, yo, don't mess with those N-words, and I mean, Hulk Hogan came out like, I'm totally against it. You can lay with anybody else. Just don't mess with those guys. Yes, cancel Hulk Hogan. Just recently, what? Randy Orton was on Twitch, on a live Twitch stream playing Call of Duty, and dropped the N-word. But it wasn't like he, and again, I'm not defending it. So please don't try to come at me like, oh, here you go. I'm not defending it. He should have never said the word. He was drunk. I don't care. You being drunk and using that word lets me know that you said that word more than once. Because when you're drunk, you'll say things easier than being sober. Because you're not really thinking. Because if you go back and find that stream on YouTube, you can see that he said it. And then after that, it's like he got real quiet after. It was like, oh, shoot, they got me. I messed up. Yeah, I mean, it's a strange thing. It's a strange situation. And I don't know. I just can't see myself. I don't like her using the word, especially with her history. And because of that, she can't use that word. I can forgive her. Same way I've moved on from John Mayer. You know, it's not me defending them. It's me saying, hey, he said it. He apologized. What more do you want me to do? Whatever. So that's all I got, man. That's all I got. That's everything. How'd y'all think about the show? What y'all think? Can y'all stand me for an hour? Can y'all stand me for an hour and some change? I don't know. If I did this on my own, I'd probably keep this to an hour. You don't really realize what you have until it's gone. Hopefully the Illmatic one will be back next week, next show. So please just stand by and bear with me. If not, it'll be me again posting next week or posting next show. Try to think of some good topics for you. I'll try to post this as I can. You'll still definitely get this on your streaming services. If anything, it will be posted on the SoundCloud. So for all my SoundCloud listeners, for all of our SoundCloud listeners, please be on the lookout for this episode. And like I said, hopefully your guys will be back next time and we'll get down to normal business. So again, the socials for everybody that can get in contact with us, please, please, please go to the website, illmaticgoddess.com. Drop questions, your opinions. Tell us how you feel about us. Tell us, just be real with us. Let us know how you think. Let us know how you feel. And we'll definitely take everything to heart as far as, you know, any suggestions to make the show better, any topics you guys want to hear next time. Not afraid to step out and tackle certain things. But please go to the website, illmaticgoddess.com. Don't forget about your Illmatic Goddess herself. IG account, Illmatic Goddess. You can also find her on Facebook, Illmatic Goddess. Go to her Twitter, Illmatic Goddess. SoundCloud is where we get streaming service. Following me, your boy SoulBrother80. Find me on Instagram at SoulBrother80. Find me on Twitter at Blur Tribunal, Nerds Blurs, and everybody in between. You can find me on Twitch, Uncle Mike 80. PlayStation on Mike 80. And y'all guys keep it real. I don't have anything witty to say. I never have anything witty to say. So please don't look at me and think I'm going to say something witty and smart and funny. That's not me. That's not me. I'm going to try to keep it real with you. That's not me. I just want to have fun. That's what I'm all about. Having fun. But anyway, man, I'm not going to talk your heads off. It's been real. It's been good. Hopefully you had fun. Hopefully you got some information. And I'm going to take you out. You know what? Because she's not here, she'd appreciate the song I'm about to play. Because this is her girl. So, taking y'all out to Lauryn Hill, Lost Ones. Again, Illmatic Podcast. Illmatic Goddess Podcast. Be good, everybody. Until next time.
How money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation. I was on the humble, you on every station. Someone play young Lauryn like she done. But remember not to game the one of the sun. Everything you did has already been done. I know all the tricks from Prince to Kingston. Right, Ting Dong, Major Kingdom, one run. Now understand, L Boogie. But if a thing test me, run to me, y'all take a threat to me, newborn son. Helping this way since creation. A groupie call you far from temptation. Now you on ball, open separation.